Welcome to another edition of Twat Radio. I am Bit Viper, and with me as always, or so far, last couple episodes, is...
Power Stick.
My brother. And he actually just showed up from Berkeley. I haven't seen him in a while, and I grabbed him and I said, hey, you want to record an episode with me? I got an idea. And he has no idea, what we're about to talk about, do you? It could be anything.
It could be anything. And before we do begin, thanks for putting our song on the last episode.
Oh, you're welcome. It sounded pretty good. So hopefully people like that.
That was me on the drums.
That was you on the drums, believe it or not. Okay, so the topic today.
Yes.
Have you ever opened up a text file in Windows, for example, in like Notepad?
Yeah, all the time.
Really?
All the time.
Well, that's it. Okay. Thanks for joining us.
That was easy.
Have you ever had it, if you got it from somewhere else, and you opened it up in Notepad, and it's you can read it, but there is garbage.
Yeah,
there's
absolutely.
No like line breaks and all that.
Yeah.
Have you ever wondered what the hell is going on there?
I do, but I always end up opening it up in is it WordPad?
WordPad, yeah.
And that seems to fix
it. For some reason, WordPad can figure it out.
Yeah,
Notepad. Okay.
I've never known why that was.
I do it because I did the Xbox Media Center XML file all the time.
Yeah,
that's the setup file.
Okay.
I have that problem all the time.
Okay.
I used to edit in when I was purely Windows. Now that I do in Linux, though, I don't have the issue anymore.
Really?
So, why is that? Well, I actually was bored at work one day, so this is at that job I hate, remember? So I was, which I'm no longer at, thank God. Yeah, well, anyway, so I looked it up on Wikipedia, and it answered all my questions. So would you like to know what's going on there?
I would.
Say yes,
are you just going to redirect people to Wikipedia and tell
people the link? Well, you're in the car right now, probably, so you don't have Wikipedia in front of you. But here's the answer to what's going on. It starts actually way back in the 50s or 60s, I guess, when computers were storing text files. Or actually even more before that, when they were sending information, English language stuff, over the serial port or or storing it on a hard drive or something. We had binary numbers, right, ones and zeros, and somehow they had to use that to store human-readable characters, letters and numbers and symbols and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they came out with this standard called the ASCII standard. You've probably heard of it, right?
Yes.
So the ASCII standard was just an arbitrary mapping saying this byte over here represents this letter.
Okay.
This byte over here represents... And actually, I misspoke there. It wasn't actually a byte, which is 8 bits.
Yeah.
The ASCII code only used 7 bits.
Okay.
All right, so...
255?
Well, 256 would be 8 bits,
yeah,
so right? So that means it's 128 characters possible with ASCII, which is, if you think about it, with all the letters upper and lowercase, you're at 52 plus a few more for numbers and a few more for symbols. You still got a lot of room in there with 128. So,
yeah.
Okay, so what actually ended up happening was at the time they were using not high-tech computers like we got now with displays and stuff, but they were using like teletype terminals, like Good Morning
Vietnam.
And punch cards, too. But remember that movie Good Morning Vietnam where they always had those typewriters passing,
doing news?
That was with teletype machines.
Okay.
They were getting incoming data and typing it out.
At lightning 300 baud.
It was pretty fast. I mean, these machines were fast physically speaking, but the data that actually could be sent was pretty slow. So anyway, what happened was, first of all, let's talk about ASCII. It's sending, ASCII is that mapping we were talking about, and it was 7 bits, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to wonder, back in the day, and still today, we talk in bytes, right? 8 bits at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's right there, there's something going on. I mean, how would you, I guess you could use, you could pass the 7 bits in each byte and then have the 8th bit be nothing.
Okay.
Right? Or you could actually do what they ended up doing, which was to use the 8th bit of every byte for, making sure that the byte got through okay. So it'd say a check. Yeah, exactly.
Right, we're checking.
Yeah, and what it was, have you ever
parody?
Configured... That's exactly right. You've configured the COM port on a Windows machine, say, and you got the parity is odd, even, or like off or something, or none.
Hmm.
Right? Those are usually your three options, I think.
Okay.
And all that means is parity, if it's odd, that means that the number of ones in every byte will be odd.
Okay.
So, for example, say you pass a 7-bit string, it's an ASCII 7-bit that had two ones in it, then the parity bit would be a one as well, so the total number of ones would be 3 for that byte, right?
Yeah.
And then, so it would, the parity bit in that case would always be used, and if it was already an odd number of bits in the 7, then it would be 0 in the parity bit.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So that's like a really simple, it's easy to beat, easy to screw it up, but it's a simplified checking system, and that's what they ended up using the 8th bit for. All right, but anyway, I digress. The 8 bits, or the ASCII chart, not only did it have mappings for you know, characters that you and I could read and see, but it also had what are called control characters. And back then, you mentioned punch cards. There were special control characters that people wanted to have in their punch card machines, like blank the whole punch card by punching every single hole in the punch card to, that like erases it, you know, mm-hmm. it kind of makes it so you can't read it anymore. Mm-hmm. There was a special character for that, I think I read. And there was other punch card or other controls as well. For example, the bell. Mm-hmm. Remember in DOS way back in the day, did you ever accidentally type out a binary file and you get a whole bunch of garbage on your screen?
Yeah, yeah.
Every now and then it would ding, right? Because that would be the mapping for the bell character would show up.
Toot, toot, toot.
And so, yeah, totally. Yeah, the bell was actually made way back in the day when you wanted to print out something to a teletype machine across the country, mm-hmm. and you wanted it to get someone's attention, so you would put a bell character at the end. It would ring a little bell, like a physical bell there on the machine to get someone's attention. Huh. So these were all, like, so there was control characters.
There were uses for these.
Exactly. Yeah, there's like 30 or 40 control characters out there. They all had some special reason to exist.
Yeah, it's funny. That's funny, because you never think about that.
Most of them are obsolete nowadays, yeah, right? But absolutely. There are two that are still around, and there's probably more, but two that I can think of. Mm. And those are carriage return and line feed. Now, back in the day, when they were controlling a teletype machine, it was stupid. It didn't know to kind of go to the beginning of the next mm-hmm. line for you.
Okay.
You had to tell it carriage return, which means it brings back the print head to the left side of the page.
Yep, yep.
And then line feed as well, so it would advance the paper up a little bit. So
you had to tell the printer to
move it. It was dumb. You had to tell everything. Okay, okay. And, you know, sometimes it wasn't fast enough to bring the head back and do a line feed before your next data was there. So you might put a couple null characters in there as well. Like, that means nothing.
Yeah.
So that's a special character too, I guess, a null character.
So when someone sent a file, they had to keep all this stuff in mind.
Absolutely. You couldn't go over a certain number of characters, you know, depending on how many characters per line this thing could do. You had to keep that all in mind.
Wow.
Right? Okay, so in fact, teletype machines were used as kind of displays for computers.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
shortly
they didn't have,
after, right?
Yeah, they didn't have monitors.
So, you know, computers were kind of designed to interface with them, too. So they kept the carriage return and line feed command in their text file, so when you printed it out, it would, you know, be okay. So, but eventually we had the display, you know, the monitor, and we didn't need these things anymore. And one of the earlier operating system was Multics. That was like the precursor to Unix, Multics.
Yeah.
And they decided, you know what? What's that?
The X on the end of the name. You told me that anything.
I think
that
it was Multics. In that
oh,
case.
Really?
Unix, on the other hand, came later and was a play on the word Multics.
Oh, okay.
Right? But
knowledge.
Exactly. We're learning. But Multics said, you know what? We're going to store text files now. We don't need to have two characters, a carriage return and a line feed, mm-hmm. to simplify or to signify the end of a line in our text characters, or mm-hmm. excuse me, our text files. So we only need one special character.
The Multics wasn't using the teletypes?
Well, they were, but when they started to use text mode, I guess if you were going to print out a text file, it might just automatically change one character into two for the console, depending if the device driver would do that for you, I imagine.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm guessing there.
Okay.
But for storing text files generically for the machine itself, they decided, you know, we only need one character, so they just went with the line feed command.
Okay.
So all you need is a line feed to do the next line. All right. And all the versions of Unix afterwards, including Linux, use that same approach. Just one character.
And just to clarify, when I'm typing a text file back in the day, where I type a sentence over this many characters, and then I myself would input a line feed command.
Yes.
So I would do like
whatever. You mean an enter button, right?
Well, that is okay. So the enter would translate from the terminal from your keyboard would translate into the computer as line feed
next or line, whatever that meant for that operating system.
Okay.
Yeah, it would see that button and said, okay, I'm in Linux, so I'll give you a line feed.
Gotcha.
Command.
Okay.
Right.
So it would just take that command and send it, and that's when the teletype would get it.
Exactly.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, gotcha. It would change it itself if you're outputting to a teletype, I guess. That I'm a little unclear of, I'll be honest. But
okay.
I know Multics made that decision, and the rest of the Unix cousins or family after that did the same thing.
Okay.
Apple, you know, the Steves decided to go with for the Apple II, and all the way up to OS 9, they decided to use carriage return as the end of line only.
Okay.
So just one character, the carriage return. And in fact, it wasn't until OS X, you know, based on Unix, that they joined the rest of the Unix community, and now OS X text files are all line feeds only for end of lines.
Huh. So all when you hit enter, line feed is the character that goes in.
Now, there was another operating system going on back in the day that was pretty popular called CPM. It was written by the guy that made Digital Research, that company. Remember DRDOS?
Yeah.
Yeah. He later made DR-DOS, but he originally his program was called CPM. By the way, this guy was a genius, and he made the BIOS design. I mean, he made a lot of cool things. But anyway, so he made CPM, which was an operating system, and some people speculate that when he made a decision for line feeds or line returns that he did, mm-hmm. that he was trying to differentiate himself from the Unix environment, because at the time, AT&T had kind of let people play with Unix, mm-hmm. but once they started to, like Berkeley, for example, Berkeley mm-hmm. took it and started adding to it, but once AT&T realized they had something that was valuable, they started suing everybody in sight that even looked like Unix. So
That's the story of, I forget which company was sued, and they had the modem program. And the ATT, as the you know the AT command yeah, you put yeah. in for the modem prompts, was one of the things AT&T found in their compiled software.
Oh, so they went after
them. That was one of the things they listed as. What is it when you're infringing on like their name?
Yeah, the patent or copyright command. Or something. Yeah, yeah. So I mean, a lot of people speculate for that reason. Yeah. The guy, I mean, no one knows for sure, but they're thinking that's the reason why this guy decided to, instead of using a line feed command like Unix,
yeah,
and instead of using carriage return as like Apple. He did both. He kept them both together, carriage return line feed in his CPM operating system, which looks a lot like DOS. The reason why is because CPM was later copied by another guy called QDOS, mm-hmm. which was bought by Microsoft, and then they renamed it MS-DOS. So that all came along with into DOS and later Windows and so forth. Mm-hmm. The entire Microsoft product line, their text editors used carriage return and then line feed to signify an end-of-line character.
Huh.
So you need two characters in DOS and Windows to do an end-of-line in a text file. If you looked at it in a binary hex editor, you would see it there. All right, so that's why that's the case, is because some guy decided to go with both characters. So now what happens if you load a Linux or Unix-based text file into MS-DOS or into Notepad? It only sees the line feed command by itself, right? Because that's what the Linux standard is. And it doesn't see the combination of carriage return line feed because it's not there. So it doesn't give you a new line, and it doesn't know what to do with this character. It gives you like a little square thing to signify an unprintable character, a control character. Right? So that's what Notepad. Now, WordPad's smarter. It actually sees the input and says, oh, I know what's going on here. You brought it from another place, and I'll do the change for you. But Notepad isn't smart. And some Linux programs, some Linux text editors that aren't smart, if you bring in a Windows program, it sees the extra carriage return in there. Sorry, a Windows text file. It sees the extra carriage return in there that came from Windows.
Mm-hmm.
And the symbol for that is Control M or Care M. So mm-hmm. if you look at that in Linux in a dumb text editor, it'll have your reline or your new line because the line feed's still there. But it'll have a Control M's at the end of every line.
That's wild.
Right. So now they knew when they were developing the FTP standard back in the day, they knew that they were going to be transferring text files from one operating system to another. They, mm-hmm. they anticipated this. So mm-hmm. have you ever seen in an FTP mode that or you have a binary mode or a text mode?
Yeah, because I'm always going into binary when I'm downloading legal things.
Or auto or something. Yeah, right. We won't go into that. Well, what text mode is as built into the FTP standard is the ability for the FTP client to take a text file convert it on the fly as it gets it. So that's what it's doing.
So
if you put it into text mode,
add the carriage return after the line feed.
If it's Windows, yeah.
Yeah, if it's a Windows FTP,
it'll put the carriage return before the line feed. So the FTP client will do all the automation for you. Converting it for you, and you won't see that problem.
If you download a text file in binary, well,
that's the rub. If you do it, because in text mode you have this mapping.
Yeah,
these mean letters and so forth. Binary mode, it's a whole. There is no mapping. This data represents like machine code or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's no substitution you want to do. So if you do substitute, or you mess with those carriage return strings, they don't mean carriage returns in binary files. They
totally.
Mean, so if you screw it up using text mode. That's bad.
Yeah.
right. Or if you take like a text file that you're going to compile from one program to another,
mm-hmm.
you got to make sure your compiler understands that the end of lines are what they are. So if you ever have a problem with end of lines when you compile, that might be it.
This is all like using my earlier example of downloading legal software on FTP. You'd always get like usually like a RAR or a zip file.
Right.
You'd uncompress that, and there'd be a text file, like a README text file.
Right.
And invariably, it would always be wacky. So that means that was probably because it was compiled.
It didn't get converted.
Because it was in,
inside
yeah,
the zip
file.
Yeah,
it was in the binary container.
And if you had transferred that text file using a binary mode, it still wouldn't have done anything. Because binary mode simply means don't do anything.
Yeah.
Bring
take,
it over,
take it,
byte
take it
for
bit
byte.
For bit, yeah.
Exactly. No bits get changed.
That's really interesting.
All right.
So that's why.
A little history there.
Cool.
It's kind of neat to see, like, where, you know, the reason we're here today is from what happened yesterday, all the luggage we brought with us.
Yeah.
And there it is.
And now every time we open a text file, we can think of our Multics?
Multics was the first Unix kind of base system, or what Unix was based on.
And Good Morning Vietnam, Vietnam teletypes.
There you go.
Cool, right on.
All
right,
guys. Hope you enjoyed that episode. Phil, thanks for coming over and helping out with the show.
No problem.
And see you next time.
Later, twats.